Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
What a wonderful praise team we have, and what an awesome media team we have coming in today and working behind the scenes. And these guys are in front of people, but really they're sort of like what Don Potter said: when we worship, we just face the wall. You know, we're not looking for all these people that are not here today to be our source of strength, to be our source of praise, because it's all about Him, and it is because of Him that we can fill the whole earth with our praises. Amen. Thank you guys so much. Y'all did an awesome job. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to be speaking to you today concerning breaking the shackles of anxiety. Tell you what, we have a lot of anxiety in this world today. We have a lot of uncertainty, a lot of worry, a lot of panic, a lot of excessive uneasiness. And because of this world is inherently evil, and God sent His Son to be able to forgive us our sins as we repent and ask Him to come into our hearts. He sets the course for us to be able to live a different way than the world lives. Amen? And He wants us to make sure that we do not have anxiety, we do not panic, we do not have worry. But unfortunately, sometimes this world is so overwhelming to us, and we sometimes take our eyes off of the One who matters. And we want to just share just a little bit of these things with you today. You know, the election process, you know, is still going on because we have a constitution and we have a system of integrity through the courts, and we have this thing going on. So, but to be honest with you, don't worry about it. Really, you know, either way, I serve a God who is still King, and I'm sure you do. And we don't depend upon men, we depend upon God. And we want to make sure that we don't get rattled, and we don't get worried, and we don't get anxious, and we don't panic, and we don't have anxiety, you know, during all this process. And it's because we are Christians. We are followers of Jesus. Amen. And that's how we should always look at it. But I want to share just a little, but I'm going to share some things about some of the certainties of God before we get into this thing of anxiety and how to break the shackles of it. We won't be talking about all the certainties of God, but we will be sharing some things. But in the midst of all the certainties of God, you know, it amazes me. Actually, it baffles me at sometimes that we have an internet system that when you start going on the internet system through all of these things that are these networks or these groups that are called social media. It baffles me. You know, what baffles me about it is, why in the world would you even name it that? Because when you go on it, the biggest majority of it is negative. It's judgmental. It's disrespectful, hateful, and cruel. Social media has actually caused us to be unsocial. And we need to make sure that we are not people who fall into the trap that is set by the world to be able to all go ahead and express what you want to. It's just fine. You know, words have power, whether they're written or spoken. They have power. And in the power of the tongue is life and death. And we need to make sure that we disengage. You don't have to disengage from social media, but you need to disengage from judgmentalism, anger, being mean or hateful. Does that make sense? And but yes, express your views, express your thoughts, but you do not have to be mean and unsocial about it. But here's one of the certainties of God that I want to give you today. It is in John 17, 14. You can write these down. Our main scripture is going to be in Philippians chapter 4. But John 17, 14 says this, that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. Means a lot. And that comes from the Word of God. We as Christians, we as followers of Christ, are in a world that is fallen. Right? But he says, you're in it, but you're not of it. You're a new creature. You're a new creation. So we are not of this world. Well, see, the certainty of God is we need to be able to get this in our thinking, get this in our walk as well. And another one in that same verse, that Jesus says, just as I am not of this world. He said, you are not of this world, just like I am not of this world. Jesus came from heaven. Jesus came from heaven. You know, so he's not of this world. And then when we were born again from above by the Spirit of God, we became of that kingdom. So we're in a world that has fallen, but we're not of this world. So that's point number one. Another certainty in John 18, 36, he says, Jesus says this, my kingdom is not of this world. So his kingdom rule is not of this world. It is in this world, but it is of the kingdom. He said, it's not, his kingdom wasn't birthed out of the earth. His kingdom was birthed from heaven. Thy kingdom come in heaven and on the earth. So he's saying, no, so here's the second point. His kingdom is not of this world. It's in this world, but it's not of the world. And we're in the world, not of the world. Jesus was in this world, not of the world. So there are some certainties. Here's another certainty. The kingdom of God that we are in is unshakable. It cannot, everybody say cannot. It cannot be shaken. In other words, it's impossible for the kingdom to be shaken. And there's no bondage. That's in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. You know, but see, when this thing is unshakable, there's some things inside an unshakable kingdom that we need to learn. We really need to learn, why is this kingdom unshakable? And weak, because we are of this kingdom, the kingdom of God. So there's some specific ways to think and specific ways to believe in this kingdom. We can believe as the world believes and get all messed up. We can actually depend upon the world's system to provide us with what we need in life. But see, the world's system does not provide that for us. It is God. God said, he said to these, he said, take no thought on what you have to eat or drink. He said, take no thought about tomorrow. Take no thought. What does take no thought mean? Don't worry about it. Don't be anxious about this. Why? Because God says, I love the birds, but do you not think I love you? See, he loves us more than he loves the birds. And he's going to clothe, he's going to take care of us. See, that's a certainty of God. That's the reason we should not. But by the way, this thing he says, take no thought. That is a way of thinking that you have, the word take is to join up with. So when you take a thought, you're joining up with a thought that is not his. And we become anxious when we begin to join up with the ways and the thinking of the world. No matter what's going on, no matter what we go through, so that's another certainty of God, that it's unshakable, and there's a specific way of thinking and believing that he wants to teach us. So, by the way, this thing about this earth and that we're in but not of, very little of this earth do we need to claim hold of, except for the earth itself. You with me? But see, this stuff mostly is not for us. But in the kingdom, everything is for us. In the kingdom of God, everything is for us. Some of the things in the world we shouldn't even be connected to, right? There's certain things that we don't even be connected to. But so here's another kingdom perspective, and it's found in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Listen to this one. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works. So we're in Christ, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, that not only did he provide us with a new life and a new kingdom to us, he provided with us a means to do work inside his kingdom, not just to sit, not just to be idle, but he said we are his workmanship and we are in Christ. Now, I'm going to say this. If we are in Christ, then all of your circumstances are in Christ. If we are in Christ, then all of our circumstances are in Christ. They're not outside of Christ. So if we can just understand some of the certainties of God and understand that he gives us a divine advantage of circumstances, problems, anxieties, and chaos. He gives us a divine advantage by us being in him and him being in us. We need to utilize that very certainty in our life to the maximum, shouldn't we? Yeah, no matter what it is, no matter what we're going to be facing. So it really brings joy to me once I thought about it, that I'm in Christ. Well, what I'm going through is also in Christ. Think about it. That's powerful. Why? All the resources of heaven, all the resources of God are at my disposal about this circumstance. I don't have to go back over here in the world to figure out what am I going to do. You with me? So this thing about us being in Christ and whatever we're going through is in Christ. His power is available. Everything's available. Okay, here's another one. It says in Romans chapter 8, I'm going to say this. You will not be separated from God's love. That's a certainty. No way you can be separated from God's love. No way. So no matter what you're going through, we need to have the certainty. Wait a minute, what I'm going through, I'm in a kingdom that can't be shaken. I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. I'm of another kingdom. I'm of God. I've been born of God, born of the Spirit of God. Right? So you begin to rehearse these things in our mind, and we begin to say these things as a certainty of God and a certainty of who we are in God. But you cannot, when this thing, you cannot be separated from the love of God. Romans 8, 35. Can anything ever separate, and this is out of the New Living Translation. Can anything ever separate us from God's love? That's a question that Paul is making to the church. Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble, calamity, or if we're persecuted, hungry, destitute, if we're in danger, or if we've been even threatened with death? So his question is, does that mean he doesn't love us because we have these things that we're going through, these circumstances? And he answers the question in 37. No, this does not mean he doesn't love you. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loves us. See, that's another kingdom certainty. We have a tendency, the world's thinking says, well, God must not love you. Look what you're going through. You know, if God loves you, he will let you go through that? He will let that. See, the thing is, the world wants to question just like the enemy did in the garden. Did God really tell you that you'd die? He's just holding out on you. How did it, why, holding out on, yeah, if you just eat this, you'll be like him. They were already like him. They were talked out of not being like him when God said, in his image, he created them. So we have these lies all around, but he says this. He said, no, God loves you. Even though you face trouble, you face these things. He says, no, God loves you, and overwhelming victory is yours. Over, not just victory, overwhelming victory is yours and mine through Christ who loves us. Paul goes on in verse 38, and he says, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Nothing. Nothing can ever separate us. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. There's that anxiety. Mm-mm. Nothing will ever separate us. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Nothing. Nothing. See, if you cannot, listen to this, if you cannot be separated from the love of God, your circumstances are with you in God. So if you cannot be separated from the love of God, neither can your circumstances be exempt from the power of God. Powerful. Your circumstances, you're in Christ, your circumstances are in Christ with you. And the very divine power of God, the divine love of God, if you can't be separated from the love of God, you won't be separated from the power of God. That's a certainty. So as I said before, we're in a process of learning how to live these things out. So we're all believers, so that means we have something to believe, right? So if we're all believers, we believe something. We need to know what that something is. We need to have these certainties down in us to be able to believe what it is that we should believe and walk as we should. He said, I've created you. You know, you're my workmanship. I've crafted you, I made you to do good works and to be able to work the things of the kingdom. But if we don't know the things of the kingdom, we're not going to be able to work the things of the kingdom. So we have to be at that place that we understand, we know, and we keep that before us of the certainties of God, these that I've talked to you about. Then I know there's many, many others. But you know, we need to understand that in the process of walking and working these things out that he said he would give us, that he would be able to do. Sometimes we really think, I'm gonna stick on anxiety a little bit, but sometimes we think, God, just take the anxiety away. And here's a key point that I want to make to you. A lot of us Christians, we want to be able to know, but some of us don't want to learn. No, we want to know that God can deliver me, but a lot of times we don't want to learn how he delivers me. Y'all with me? So take fear, for instance. We want God to take the fear. He can, and he does sometimes, but he's not going to do that all the time. Why? He wants you to, you learn that he can. Now you know that he can. You know that he can, but he wants you to learn that you can. So instead of him taking the fear away from you, he will begin to teach you what? Anybody know? Trust in him. But the Bible, what casts out fear? Perfect love. So what does he want to do? Instead of removing a fear, he will teach you about perfect love. And he wants you to learn, you know he can, but he wants you to learn that you can through his method of the kingdom. Does that make sense? So it's not just us knowing, it's he wants us to be learned. That, matter of fact, that is the very definition of the word disciple. People who have been taught, people who have learned from their master, a disciple. You know, so we have to, not just to know him, we do need to know him, but we really need to learn how his kingdom principles work and how we can follow him and once again, do the things that he did, even more things. Why? That's what we learn. So we've got to learn that. So he's not going to take all the things away all the time. He will sometimes. In his sovereignty, he'll choose. But he wants us, he wants his children to learn. It's like the children, you know, if you never teach your children how to do things around the house, they know you can make the bed. They know you can pick up the toys. They know you can do all of that. But if we do not teach them and they do not learn how to make their own bed, learn how to pick up their own toys, and even learn how to cook in some cases. See, they will constantly be dependent while sitting. Dependent while sitting instead of dependent being at work in the kingdom. That's the reason he said, for good works he created you, not to sit. We're seated with him in the heavenlies, right? But see, this is a place in this earth. We're in it, but we're not sitters. We're doers. Hear the word, then what? Do. When you hear the word, you do the word. You know, okay. So here's another one. A problem cannot come into your life without it having a promise connected to it. A problem cannot come into your life without having a promise connected to it. Why is that? God's already said, I will meet all of your needs. What do you need when you have a problem? You need a promise from God. You need a word from God. I'm going to give you everything that you need. See, that's a certainty of God. Matter of fact, listen to this, it's illegal for a problem to be in your life without a promise attached to it. When a problem comes, you're in the kingdom, you're walking with God, you're following Jesus, and you have a problem to show up, one of the things we need to understand is what? There's a promise somewhere in the midst of all of this. And in that promise, he wants to teach us where he's taking us. He wants to be able to teach us where he's taking us, what he's given us and what he's taken. And every promise that is attached, every problem, there is a promise attached to it in the kingdom. Right? Right. Why? Your circumstances are in Christ with you. Why is that? Because he wants to teach you in it. He wants to show us things. He wants us to show us that we are overwhelmingly victorious. So a problem comes by, I know this is a problem, but see, we can't continue to focus on, the more we focus on the problem, the bigger it gets. So when a problem comes, we should focus on what? Where's the promise? Because with every promise, there is a provision. Every promise there is a provision. It means he's going to provide something for you. He's going to grow us in the process. We're going to become more like him in the process. So he's taken us through life with his certainties, and he wants us to walk in these certainties. But all of these problems that we think we have and that we do have in a lot of cases, we should be looking. Wait a minute, God is about to bring something different and good in my life through this. So you begin to look for God's promises, and then through his promises you see his provision, a certainty. Instead of saying, oh my, we'll never get out of this. You know, and we will. Matter of fact, we're not even in it. We're in Christ. Right? A problem may have showed up. Well, every problem that shows up, there's a promise attached to it. It cannot come into your life without having a promise attached to it. Why? That's the kingdom way. It's the kingdom of God. Why? He's not going to leave you helpless. Why? Because he said, I've sent you what? The Holy Spirit to help you. And what's the Holy Spirit do? Brings you into all truth. So every problem has a truth somewhere. Most problems have a lie attached to it. But he has a promise attached to it. The question is, what are we going to believe? As believers, what are we going to believe? What is the something that we're going to believe? And we have to go through these to be able to see that God does not want us to look into these things as just being a survivor. We can't have the survival. We just want to survive. No, we just don't want to survive. Survival is good. But when you're an overcomer, when you're more than victorious, you're not just a survivor. You're overwhelmingly a conqueror. That's not a survivor. Boy, we just barely got by. No, it's no barely get by. God says, no, I don't have just life. I've got abundant living for you. And that's what he wants us to enter into. So let's go to, when we look at this thing about God's kingdom, and no problem can come in without the promise. No problem can come in without the promise of God. Here's the answer for that. Here's how we know that. Romans 8:2. Listen to this. The law of the Spirit of life flowing through the anointing of Jesus has liberated us from what? The law of sin and death. There's a higher thing called the Spirit of life that has set us free from the law of sin and death. So there's the one, Jesus, and the person of the Holy Spirit is saying, I have a life for you that is a law for you. And it's greater, and it's done away with the law of the spirit of death in you, because we have the spirit of life in us. Okay. Let's look at this thing about anxiety in the few minutes that we have. Philippians 4:4-9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. Let all men know that you're a patient person. Does everybody know that you're a patient person? And he goes on this. He makes a statement. The Lord is near. Let everybody know that you're patient because the Lord is near. He's not far away from you. He's near. He's right here. Then he says in verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Boy, if you want to know what God wants to teach you in your problems, is not to be anxious, not to have anxiety. He says, be anxious for a little thing. No, he says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. And this word, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. This but here means instead of being anxious, which means there's a certain anxiety that begins to start. But he says, anxiety is here, but instead of being anxious, then he gives us the formula. Then he gives us his way, his word. Instead of being anxious, in everything, pray and have supplication with thanksgiving, and let your request be made known to God. This thing about prayer, when he says, in everything, prayer, have prayer, pray, that is communing with God. That is talking with God. Just have a conversation. You know, anxiety begins to roll in, and all of a sudden you can say, okay, I've got a promise here, so here's my promise. I can go to God and talk about this. I can just talk to him about it. I can let him know how I feel, and I want him to show me his way. So in he didn't say in a few of the, he said in everything, pray. And he says, by prayer and supplication. This thing about supplication is, so prayer is when we start talking with God. We start communing with God. Then supplication is petition. Is petition. You begin to rehearse and quote with God the things that you know that he's given you that is being disturbed right now. You with me? You know, so your petition is you're going up and petitioning God for the things he says you already have. So you begin to make that petition before God. God, you said you paid for my healing. You said you paid for my provision. Whatever this anxiety, you said, and you begin to make that petition to Almighty God because he is the one that said, this is yours. So you bring that petition to him. And you do both of these with a grateful heart. Do you understand that gratefulness, when we lack gratefulness, we will soon become entitled? And then when we become an entitled people, God help us. Why? Because I've seen how entitlement works. I deserve this. And if you don't give it to me, I'll burn the place down. I deserve this. And if you don't give it to me, I'm going to do something else. I'm entitled. I'm entitled. Why? Because there's no gratitude with what they already have. There's no gratefulness in living in a country that's this free. Well, let's move along from that. Gratitude. And then he goes on and says this. He said, make your request. This thing about request is this. A specific thing that you're asking for. God wants you to be specific. He already knows, but he's teaching you and I how to be specific with him to actually agree with him that you do have it, and the door will be open for you to be able to not just see it, but to walk in it. Amen? Amen. So we begin to see that, and then verse 7 is this one. He said, when you do this, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This thing about guard your heart, that is a garrison. That is a whole host of military things up from heaven that he says, with a garrison, I will guard your heart and your mind. Wow. Why? Because it's the peace of God. The peace of God is not just so you can sit down to rest. The peace of God is for you to be able to see the passage come into play. He says, you know, you prepare a table before me in the what? In the very presence of my enemies. That's peace. Why? There's enemies all around. But God has set a garrison. He set the military effect of heaven. You with me? But he said, right in the midst of that, he said, okay, here's you. You know, why? It's not because everything is quieted down. See, peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace is the presence of a person, Jesus. So it doesn't mean that everything has to be quiet, everything has to be a certain way, everything for us to be able to have peace. No. It's right in the middle of some of the most chaotic things that you can have peace, because your peace is a person. Jesus modeled this for us. In the night before he's dying, he's being crucified. He's going to be betrayed by one of his own, one that he picked. And he's going to be mocked. He's going to be ridiculed. He's going to be beaten. His beard's going to be plucked out. He's going to be whipped. He's gonna have his back is gonna be lashed until it looks like it's just one large wound. That's where he's headed. What does he do? He gives thanks. He does communion. He does the Passover. He gives thanks. Right in the middle of all of that, he gives thanks. Why? Peace is a person. He has peace because the Holy Spirit has come upon him. Peace is upon him. Peace is a person. So in the middle of all that, not only does he do that, not only does he break the bread and take the wine and gives thanks, he offers up thanks for both of them. The Bible says this. I mean, then he's betrayed. He gets betrayed. And what does he do? The Bible says that he gets up from the table. He girds himself with a towel, gets a basin, pours water into the basin, gets down and bows down before the disciples and begins to pour water on their feet. Why is he able to do that? He has the certainties of God, his Father, that's dwelling inside him. And he's heard the Father's voice. He's heard the Father's word. And he's able to have perfect peace in the midst of what's happening and where he's headed. That's the kind of peace that we need. He modeled it for us. We too need to be able to model that for the world. If you and I are so anxious and so worried and so tied up with things that are keeping us earthbound in our thinking, we will not be able, our problems will be so big to us that in the midst of our problems, in the midst of our circumstances, we will not be able to minister to others that catches their attention. See, it caught Peter's attention. Oh, no, wait a minute. You can't, no, don't wash me. I mean, no. He said, look, Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, you'll have no part of me. You can have no part of me. Why? It got his attention. And then what did he say? Oh, not just my feet, wash me all over. You know, it got his attention. Why? Because he began to see. But see, Jesus is telling them he's going to die. They don't believe him. He's telling them he's going to go to the cross. They don't believe him. But he has perfect. Why? They're looking from the world's point of view, thinking anybody that's going to go die is not going to be doing any of this. They're not going to be thankful. They're not going to give thanks to God. And they're certainly not going to sit down and serve us and him being the master. Surely, I mean this. But see, they were thinking in the ways of the world. Jesus has already heard from the Father. Jesus, hearing from the Father, see, he had a mega ministry. Thousands upon thousands of people would follow him just to hear him speak and to get food from him. So if we're not able to hear what God is telling us and to know the certainties of God, we will not be able to serve others. He wants us to be able to serve others. So, in the midst of all this, you see, and here's one more. It says that, why do we not just look for survival? Because he puts this verse in there, and he says this. And he's actually talking about people who are divisive, people who cause division, who causes separation, who causes hardships between people. This is the prerequisite of this verse. People that are not telling you the truth. And he says this, the peace of God will soon crush Satan. See, he didn't leave it right there. What's the rest of it? Do what? Under whose feet? your feet. All these people that are causing this divisiveness, all of this stuff that's causing us to not focus on God, all of this thing that is causing the dishonesty, the lack of trust, all of this thing that is causing separation and causing strife, he right in the middle of it, he said, look, pretty soon the God of peace is going to crush Satan underneath your feet. But it's just not, once again, we know he can. Is that true? But what is whose feet is he going to use to do it? Ours. Under your feet. Oh, I think it's very powerful for us to be able to see what's happening and to walk with God in these ways that is going to help us conquer. So be anxious for nothing. Everything in everything, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Make your requests known to God. And the God of peace, right? He is the God of peace. The peace of God will begin to overwhelm us. So that way we will not be an anxious person that cannot minister to other people. It's hard, really, it's very hard. If you're in the middle of anxiety, it's going to be very hard for you to pray and minister to people. I mean, I'm telling you the truth. It really is. Have you ever been trapped, you know, felt trapped about this thing, and all of a sudden somebody wants you to pray, and it's like, I don't even know if I've got a prayer inside me right now. That's what you think sometimes, but you do. And then some people say, well, fake it till you make it. No, let's just be real. Let's make sure we have it so we can give it to them. I don't want to pray for somebody knowing that I'm not in faith for it. Are you with me? We need to be in faith for what we're praying for, right? But it's hard to have all this anxiety and be in faith for something and to serve other people, especially to the point that you'll sit down and wash their feet. See, at that in that day, that custom was given to the lowest servant that was in the house. The lowest servant in the house was the one that had to wash people's feet and get the dust off of them. So anytime we start exalting anxiety and have it, we start lifting anxiety, because this is where we are, because we're in a self-preservation mode. And what we're actually doing is lifting up a thought that is exalting itself against the knowledge of God. That is a stronghold. That's what Paul was talking about. We're able to destroy the strongholds. How? By following the word of God. Do not exalt this thing. Don't keep talking about the problem. Keep looking for the promise, because the provision is right behind it. So in the midst of everything that we're going through, we cannot become prayerless. That's what, don't become prayerless. You know, one thing about this thing about prayerlessness, if you stop praying about these things and you stop, you know, because that's what first thing he said, instead of being anxious, start pray. Start communing with God. See, James says this, you have not because why? You ask not. What's he talking about? You're not asking, you're not praying. So prayerlessness creates a lack. You're void of something. It's a lack. It creates a lack inside us. Jesus also said, pray that you may not be led into temptation. Pray that you may not enter into temptation, because your spirit is very willing, but your flesh is very weak. So prayerlessness will get you to the place of following the flesh that is weak, even though you want to follow the Spirit, but prayerlessness will get you to the place that you will have temptation before you that is ready to be entered. Doesn't mean you will enter it, But he said, when you pray, pray that you don't. That you don't enter, that you not enter temptation. So that's how you begin to break the shackles of anxiety of this world. Follow Philippians, but follow them. Follow Philippians 4. But do this word with the certainties of God, of who he is, who you are, and what he's doing in you and what he's doing through you. And then we will not just love God and love people, we will make a difference. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, God, that you're at work in our lives. And Lord, not only that, you are producing life in us, and your life is being lived through us, that the world can see who you truly are through us and what we do with the good works and what we say with our mouths. In Jesus' name, we pray. Once again, online streamers, we have a contribution button that is for you to give today. Just hit that button on in fathersvineyard.org website. And also members, you can do the same, or you can drop your offering tomorrow at the office between 9 and 5. Now, the next thing is parents. We didn't have the preschool today, and we did not have the kids' church today. We have prepared videos for you, so right after this, you can get your kids around and begin to click on the videos, and they can have their portion of the church, whether it's preschool or whether it's kids' church, they can have their portion. It includes songs, it includes worship, and it includes activities and teaching, so make sure you plug into that. We will be back next week on our regular schedule with in-person services next week, next Sunday. So we want to make sure that you know that. And we also want to say, have a wonderful and glorious and happy Thanksgiving. And God bless you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.